Good morning. Do all of you have your notes today? Can you wave at me? Wave, huh? Wave. Good. Anybody don't have, please take it from the usherer. Important notes. Okay. Today, I'm going to share on point number one. Why is it important to impress God's word on our children? Now, we understand that God can change our hearts and help us love God and obey His commandments. But when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to Bible teaching, parents play an important role in the value of God's words so that we can create a legacy that will remain in them throughout their lives. Now today, I'm going to share a testimony from my family. Now for my family, we have a daily habit of sharing and praying for everyone in the household. We will start off by talking about the happiest event of the day and giving thanks to God for His provision. We will then go through the key messages from the week's sermon. And right in the beginning, during our devotion, my wife and I find it very hard to get our children to focus, to sit down, to even open the book, the Bible, to even the notepad. So there are also many times that we feel very frustrated in getting them to be still. And over time, sometimes, we will feel that we have lost the purpose in teaching them how to do a devotion. Now from then, I will always pray and ask God to grant me patience. Patience is very important. Agree, parents? Yes. Yes. So after a long time of persevering, I noticed a change. After a long time of persevering in teaching, I don't continue to teach, cannot give up teaching and doing devotion. I noticed a change in my children's attitude towards reading of God. Now, because my wife and I have a habit of jotting down notes just like all of you, right? Yeah, we jot down notes during training, during sermon, we jot down. So at the end of the day, my children actually caught that example, caught the action. And that itself is an impression made to the children. So especially for the young ones, the twins, it is, sometimes they amaze me, the twins. They will quietly take their notepad and write down. They will copy Bible verses on their own. So I was telling Xiao Xian, "Wow, we talk and talk and talk, neck and neck and neck. They don't read. But once we continue to do our own thing and do our notes writing, they caught it and they do it on their own. So I'm very impressed. I'm very thankful for God, and I'm very happy that now my eldest son has begun to take up a leadership role in the family. All this while, I think because he caught it, and he caught it that, my wife and I has been facilitating cell group for quite a while. So he knows how to manage a cell group, manage the twins. So I'm very happy for my family. I'm happy that the twins and the children have caught it, and I know that God's word is upon them. God's word is the best compass for our children as they grow and learn about the world. Now, God promises that He will give them a hope and a future, and we hope that one day our children will be able to recall these precious lessons in their childhood. Let us invite Senior Pastor to continue to give us a deeper insight in Deuteronomy 6.
Thanks. Wow, that was great. Okay, that was a great testimony. And I like the word patience. And I like the sharing, the challenge. All right, now. So let me get my notes in good order. And then we are going to pray. And then we'll share the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you because you first loved us. And this morning, as we and lift our voices to you. As we listen to your word, may you be pleased with our response. And Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us every week. You help us. We may be slow learners sometimes, but Holy Spirit, you are the one who help us to get there. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who enables, you guide, you coach, you direct, you speak, you help us alongside. We just want to thank you. And because you are Jehovah Rapha, Holy Spirit, we ask that your power be manifested upon brothers, sisters here who are not well. Lord, we bring Jennifer, Jack, others, Lord, who Boon King in a Mandarin service. Lord, each of these beloved members of your household, Holy Spirit, will you just cause your power to fall upon them and heal them of their diseases. We thank you for your presence. Now, Lord, as we learn from your word, give us a new love for your word. Open eyes, Holy Spirit, that we might see wonderful things out of your word, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So turn to your paper Bible called Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to do it this way this morning. First, I'm going to take you through the written word so that you take you through verse by verse. It's a quick rundown. I hope to do it in 10 minutes. Then I'm going to share from your notes, which just now all of you waved to us, the notes. I'll take you through the notes that will be the key elements. Then I will give a summary. Okay, just three ways to teach same thing that you may learn to teach others, teach yourself to observe. Okay, so this is what we are going to be doing. Will you turn to chapter 6? We are going to be covering from the word, first of all. So I'll show you my Bible. Remember, those of you who are on my Saturday course and you learn how to do Bible marking, well, I just show you how I mark my Bible. So, chapter 6, God's word is powerful. Chapter 6. So I'm going to be reading, but I want you to follow, and then you got a pen, you'll just mark it your own Bible. Now, this is the commandment. And these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you that you may observe. Take note, the word is commanded you, Moses, to teach you, but he's not teaching you, but he's teaching you to observe them. Take note, he's teach to observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. All right, now in your Bible training, I did mention to you that one of the key words you need to look for are God's promises and his nature, and is often preceded by the word that or so that. Count how many that's or so that's in the next three verses. And that's always the purpose. You may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which command you. You and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. All right, this is the first paragraph. How many that's do you have in your Bible? How many? Just how many of you got three? Okay, I got three. How many of you got four? Okay. So few of you. Shall I read all over again? I know, right? Count again. How many that's? First, yes. In verse 2, every time you see that, it means the purpose that God has in mind. And all these four purposes are spelled out. First purpose, that, verse 2, you may fear the Lord. That is the ultimate. Fear here means that you will reverence Him, respect Him, honor Him. And then the second that is that your days may be prolonged. You have a full life. You will not die of cancer. You will not die of a premature death. That's the second that. The third that, it may be well with you. It may go well with you. That is something, you will not be ill with you, it'll be well with you. Now that is a promise, right? So I put here at the side a P for my promise. And then, fourth that, you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God of your fathers have promised you. All right, you'll multiply greatly. That means you are going to be making an impact on many. And your own children will be fruitful. Okay, you will not be fruitless. If you are married, you will not be fruitless if you wanted children. So you got four blessings that will come out of teaching you to observe. So I put here an A because this is God's attribute, someone to be feared. I put a P here because God promises that your life will be prolonged. I put another P here, two P's, because he says you'll be well. You'll do well. Hey, young people, this is not old people's book, okay? You'll do well in your studies, in your performance in school. You'll be well. You'll be well physically too. And then you'll multiply. You see, four great promises because you teach them to observe. Okay? Teach them to observe. Not teach. Not teach facts. Teach them to observe God's laws. Alright. This is the first paragraph. Let's go on. Now, what do you teach? Number one, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. This simply means the Lord is the unique one. There is no other. He must be the Lord, no other. He accepts no other. He is worthy to be Lord. So the word Lord is twice. So he answers to the what you are commanded to do. And so that's the first value, that the Lord must be the one and only. All right? Then, it says the next verse, I put a C1 here because that's the first aspect of the commandment. What is it? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's a wonderful way our worship leader brought us in our worship to exercise in a physical way how we should love the Lord. Four ways: heart, soul, and strength. And the key word, all, is very important. Then the second command. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart, not just in your head, and not just in your notebook. And last of all, not just in your Bible, but in your heart. Okay, so that means your spirit man. wholeheartedly having a place in your heart. Then the second commandment, verse 7, that's our key verse. You shall teach them diligently. And I put here in my note, impress. That's your NIV. Yes, the correct, better translation is impress them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit on your in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Four ways about when to talk. And then verse 8, further to this third command. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontiers or reminders or something you put right in front of your eyes, available all the time. Something between your eyes. You focus. It shall be your focus on the Word of God. You shall write them. Another command, how you are supposed to read. You shall write them. Early on, you talk. Now you write them on the doorposts of your house. It's not encouraging you to do what we call, what anyhow, draw all over people's house. It's just about having it written at a place that you will see all the time. Okay, it can be your kitchen. So you shall write. Okay, so these are the key elements of the command as to what you are supposed to do. These are commanded, so I put a C in my note. Then, the next thing, the next parable tells you about God's love language. All right. So I don't know how you mark in your Bible. You can follow me. You see where I mark, you can mark if you want to learn. All right. So the next parable, I call it God's love language. Okay, so what does it say about God's love language? And it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Can you see the word give? Yeah, that's one love language. Give you something that is large, beautiful. There are cities, that means worth a lot of money, which you did not build. That means you put nothing, no effort in it. It was given to you FOC. Is that a love language? How many of you, your father give you something as a love language? You know, there are five love languages we know. How would you like your father to give you $1 million? When they give you $1 million, would you consider that a love language? Looks like none of you are going to get $1 million from the Heavenly Father. I see unbelief in your eyes. All right, $1 million is something God will gladly put into your account in the days ahead. That's his love language. A city is worth more than $1 billion. It's a measure of wealth. All right. So that's his. So I put here A because that's his character, his attribute. He's a giver. He gives and gives. Then 11, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, which you did not provide, you didn't earn it. Hewn out of wells, that means you had wells, water which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten a fool, that means there are three ways God is showing his love language. Did you recognize that? Can you mark something there? I put that A because God is a giver. I put a little circle here. That's my own quote to say an important principle. The kimchi is good things, but I did not provide. None of these things was by my own effort. People say, you must work, then you'll get it. Well, when the Father loves you, that's His love language. But I put an S to the next paragraph because it's a warning. S is something that will sin can. When God is good, how do we sin? We take it for granted. So the Word of God says, beware. When you are full, beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You forget the Lord. That's the biggest problem we all have. We forget. We take for granted. Verse 13, the second thing. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him and shall take oaths in His name. That means you take covenant with His name. Now, this means this is the danger. What will you forget? You are supposed to fear the Lord, but you forget. Then the second sin. You shall not go after other gods and the gods of other people who are all around you. God is saying, this is the hate language that we sometimes respond. God will call this your response. This is not love language. When we do this, we are doing hate language. Because, he explained, verse 15, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God is aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. This is how God responds. You can put an A against this. God is a jealous God. Do you know something? Jealousy is a sign of love. Do you realize that? I talk to husbands, wives. Wives, if your husband loves you, one thing he will not be able to take, you go after another man. Correct or not? So that's a sign of love. And so you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That means you do not try how far you can go in sinning against Him. This tempt the Lord means there are people who try to look for loopholes in the law of God. Hey, got loopholes or not? Maybe I can sin, but one day I'll confess and then it'll all be settled. Is it such a thing? Looking for loopholes. As you tempted Him in Massah, that's a place where the people complain against God. I put the S3 because that's the third sin God is warning against. Then God goes back to the commandment. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, His testimonies, His statutes, which He has commanded you, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. That, see the word? See the word that again? Ah, circle that word that, because it tells you the purpose and the blessing. That it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to your fathers. To cast out all your enemies and so on from before you as the Lord has spoken. When your son, now this is the practical part. This chapter 6 now gives you the practical way. What are you supposed to do in order to teach your children to observe God's laws? So you begin with a question. All right, verse 20. See, I put a Q here. The Q here is not queer, it's question. Begin with a question. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning? What does it mean of the testimonies and statutes and the judgments which Lord our God has commanded you? What does it mean? You have to give an answer. Then, verse 21, this is how you should answer. First step, say to your son, we were slaves. This is our background. Where have we come from? We were slaves to Satan and sin. We are slaves to Pharaoh and Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. God brought us out. And the Lord shows signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, We saw supernatural things. And then, verse 22. Then, relate the God story. Hey, it's to be about God, not about you. Then He, God, brought us out from there, and that He must bring us in. Can you see two things? He brought us out and He brought us in. Brought us out of bad luck, so to speak. A bad situation, sickness, bad things. He brought us out, now He brought us in to give us the land in which He swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us, okay, always follow through what the Lord has done. Now tell us how we should respond with our love language back to God. God has done all this. This is God's love language. Now, can you respond? This appropriate response. What's the appropriate response? Verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes. Key word, observe, obey all these statutes. To fear the Lord our God for our good, always. Our good. This is how we respond. When we respond this way, it's for our good. It'll be good with you. It'll be good. It'll be well with you. And then, again, can he see the word that? Circle the word that. That he might preserve us alive. That means prolong our days. You know, give us a full life, a complete lifespan. As it is this day, meaning to say, can you see this is what is happening? Verse 25. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe, careful to obey all these commandments before the Lord our God that He has commanded us. So this is the conclusion. I put a C. This is God's commandment is good for us. It will be the secret to your success. So, have you marked your Bible? So I've marked it this way, so that I have different colors, so that we remember what you mark. So when you share, you don't have to start looking for it. Okay? I presume most of your Bibles are like this. Okay? One day, if I visit your house, you show me your Bible, just show me where you mark, then I know you are making progress. So, I've covered this chapter, so you can go home now, I suppose. Then why do we have the notes? Right. So, I'm going to pick one section out to tell you how to fulfill the command. Teach your children to observe. Or teach your children to obey. So that's why the topic today is learning and teaching God's laws. Now, by the way, when the Bible says laws, some people misunderstand. There are four meanings in the word law. Law can be a specific law, like the law of sin and death. If you sin, you surely will die. That's a spiritual law. But we are no more under that law. Do you hear me? We are no more under the law because Jesus, by His atoning sacrifice, cancel out the law. He canceled out this code and this law that is against us because we are all heading for hell. Right. But that's the whole, not, that's a kind of law. They are what we call ceremonial laws and food laws. That's not covered under the Ten Commandments. Those are superseded. All right. But the third law means scriptures. God's word sometimes. God's law means scriptures. So those who say we are no more under the law, but under grace. No, we are under grace and we are under the law of God as well. Because Jesus said this law, like the Ten Commandments, I came to fulfill these Ten Commandments. I didn't come to abolish these Ten Commandments. I came to show you how I fulfill the Ten Commandments. Because these commandments which are the scriptures, will not perish. Heaven and earth will pass away, but these laws, these spiritual principles will not pass away. So be very careful what you mean by laws. But simple-minded people say, oh, we are no more under the law. Which law are we not under anymore? Oh, you can commit adultery? That's one of the laws. Of course not. Because righteousness is the fulfilling of the law. Yes, we know that by the fulfilling of the law can no man be justified. We are only justified by grace, by the blood of Jesus. But you live righteously by the law, spiritual principle, all right? So be very careful what you mean by the law. There are four meanings. And Jesus is talking about the laws that God has set up, particularly the Ten Commandments. But now, God gives a different side of the law. Remember I told you that Deuteronomy is not a recap of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. One author said it's a recap. No, it's not a recap. It is a God showing his perspective now. It's like two sides of a coin. God show you one side first, based on the first three books, the second three books, and then he showed the other side of the coin. And the other side of the coin is just one law. What is that law? Verse 6 says, love the Lord. Love the Lord, just one law. That's all. Love the Lord with all your heart and so on. Now, that's what you are supposed to teach. So, in other words, the perspective in chapter 6 is different from verse, chapter 5, right? Chapter 5 lists out all the Ten Commandments in detail, and you noticed last week I didn't preach on the Ten Commandments. One day we are going to get back to the Ten Commandments. But I just want you to see the difference. In chapter 6, God flips over the coin and shows you, what does he show you? What's the commandment? Did he say you must obey the Ten Commandments? No. He just says that you shall love the Lord your God. That's all. Love the Lord. That's all. If you love the Lord, it covers everything. Can you see? That's God's side of the perspective. Not what you do, but what your heart feels. Love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Fulfilling the Ten Commandments should be one of them. So if you got your notes, this is how I underline. But in order to do so, somebody got to impress. So my key word is found in verse 7. God says, impress upon your children. Young people, please don't say that this is for parents. One day you'll be a parent. But actually, this is for everyone. The Bible says in 1 John that if you are a believer for some time, if the moment you receive Christ, you are a child. But the Bible also gives that over time, maybe over a year, you become a young person. That means you are supposed to teach others as well. You become a spiritual father, even though you are a youth. Do you know, I was a 16-year-old teenager, but I became a father. Hey, I didn't get married, but I became a father to my father because I brought my father to the Lord. I became a father to my mother because I brought her to the Lord. I became a father to my elder brothers because I brought them to the Lord. And I became a father to my three younger sisters and I brought them to the Lord. Many years have passed. My sisters love me. They always take care of me. And I love them too. But I became a father at age 16. And I spoke to my classmate who became a church leader today, but I became a father to my classmate. You know, you are spiritual fathers. Think of yourself as a spiritual father. And then, because of this, you must do two things. You must impress upon them God's commandments and express. So these are the two key words. All right? You got it in your notes. I just want to tell you these are the two things I'm going to emphasize. Now, to impress, you must first be impressed. So I'm going to run through the notes very quickly, then I'm going to sum up. Now, first, learn how to be impressed. If you're not impressed with God's word, verse 7 says, impress. By the way, the Hebrew word impress means say it repeatedly, different ways, so that it makes an imprint or an impression upon the hearts of your hearers. That's the word impress. Make an impression. Or rather, are you able to impress somebody? Some people say, don't try to impress people. Well, it's not try. If there's something in you that is wisdom, it impresses. So what do you mean by this? Firstly, David himself asked God to open his eyes so that he may see wonderful things. So if you are impressed with God, when you see wonderful things, you are able to impress others. Secondly, take note of this. It's the Holy Spirit to help you. But the Holy Spirit helps you when you meditate on His Word. And you are impressed when you meditate. You see, the Holy Spirit cannot impress you. You cannot be impressed unless the Holy Spirit impresses it upon you. But you have to open the door, and you do so by meditating. So Jesus talked about treasures you are supposed to store in your storeroom of your heart. I don't know what you have in your storeroom. Take your own house. I believe all of you have a storeroom in your house. What do you normally keep in your house? But you're supposed to store gold, silver, precious things. And Jesus said, you have a storeroom in your heart. Make sure your storeroom is full of treasures. The storeroom of your heart must be full with treasures. What is this treasures Jesus was talking about? This storeroom is, Jesus talked about old treasures. Okay. You can also mark the way I mark. Okay. These are my keywords. Old treasures and new treasures. What are old treasures? Special truths, God's promises that impacted you before become your old treasures. We are so, you saw the wondrous things you have learned all along, but now you have got new treasures. New treasures are the recent revelations God gives you. In other words, your treasure storeroom of your heart is not only full of old treasures, you also got new treasures. Keep on filling the storeroom of your heart with new treasures, because it'll be obvious to all when you open your mouth. It will make an impact. But you have to be an effective learner if you want to. So an effective learner is always storing treasures in his own heart. Take the example of Jesus, about Jesus. Two examples. Jesus himself, the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 50, verse 4, that the Lord God, the sovereign Lord, has what? Given me the tongue of a learner. That simply means I am a learner, but God give me the ability to speak in a way that will comfort the weary. This is what it says, the words that sustains the weary. I know what to say. Jesus had to learn the word. Do you realize that Jesus had to learn the word? And he was a learner. Then when he did so, when he talked to the two disciples on the road on Emmaus, what did he say? When Jesus talked to them on the way, and what did Jesus do that impressed them? When Jesus broke bread, then suddenly Jesus disappeared, and the two disciples said this. Okay, it's in our notes. They said, were not our hearts burning within us as He talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Opened, impressed. That's how Jesus impressed. How? What do you impress? Not with your knowledge, but with God's holy word. The wisdom of God's word will always impress. All right. Secondly, okay, so that's introduction, I want you to know. Secondly, impress. We need to impress them about God's love. So we talk about God's love languages. And I summarize just now for you from the Word. Now, there's something that parents can help the youngsters to make decisions. You know, sometimes we are hesitant because we don't know whether our kids want to hear or not. But sometimes we have to just keep speaking. You know, when I brought up my own children, there are sometimes I thought they don't like to hear too much. But then 20 years later, they say, Dad, what do you tell me? You know, if you had told me, I would have done it. I said, I thought you didn't want to hear. Ah, yeah, that was my mistake. I thought they didn't want to hear, but they did. And then it says here about statistics. Just an example given. People, a lot of young people have tattoos. Now, I heard on BBC that practically every one of those who had tattoos always wanted to be removed after 7 years. That's a statistic that was announced on BBC. And then there were companies who specialized on removing the tattoos. And one of the interviewer asked, how much does it cost to remove the tattoos? Oh, £2,005. That is, well, maybe about $5,000. But that's nothing. They said, it'll be take 2 years to remove. So every month you must come back, they'll poke some more, put some chemical inside, neutralize it. And so somebody asked, is it painful? And the person doing the removing a tattoo said, I'll be lying to you, like some tattoo people said, it's like ant bite. Hey, it's not like ant bite. It's like this. If you're frying an egg first time and you put too much oil and you put too strong a fire and the egg will spurt, right? Put. Then the oil drop on your hand. How do you feel? Ah, he said that's how it feels. Every time they'll poke. So please tell your kids, don't tattoo. You are sure to regret it after 7 years. And so these are things. And the Word of God said, don't tattoo your body. Don't tattoo your... If you are so crazy about tattoo, buy those sticker, put the tattoo here, and say, I love mommy. Okay, after a while you grow up, you can take it out. All right. Yeah, in Hokkien, we call Ang Kong. But the sticker Ang Kong. Teach them. Then there's a guy called Canterbury Archbishop said, if you don't teach your children, the church will face extinction one generation away. That's a great idea, but what he doesn't understand, this man, is he doesn't understand it is linked to obeying God's laws. He understands the theory, the overall, but he doesn't understand the substance. He understands the form, but he doesn't understand the substance. So he teaches, he supports LGBT agendas. So he doesn't understand, and he probably has not read the Old Testament, which says, you don't practice same-sex marriage. So you may say the form, but you know the substance has to do with teaching them to observe. Now, the next page, quickly, para 2. The key word here is when. When? So when? Well, they've summarized up in 4 different times. Focus time. It must be a time when you focus. Well, I just was admire Jonathan and Xiao Xian. They say they really have to be patient to help them focus. And their hard work paid off. So there must be focus time. Usually recommended the details. Please, you go read it. The details which Kin and I have practiced when we raise our own kids. We have got specific times, daily, weekly, age specific. As they grow, we normally do about 30 minutes or so. So There's travel time. When we travel together, there'll always be a time when we spend in God's Word together. And then there's bedtime when you lie down. That's the time we tell stories. Age related, when they are very young, we have got this drawing block, and Kin would write out the commandment, and then the kids will color it, and then so on, and then we'll talk about it. Then we will put the kids to bed one by one. And especially bedtime, I have to, when my turn to put my children to bed, I have to sing a song or quote a scripture. I remember one night I quoted Psalm 8. While my kids were sleeping, lie down quietly as I quoted Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And I made one mistake in the third verse. And she woke up and said, no, mommy never say that. Well, I said, well, I think I better be careful when I memorize and I quote. Or I'll sing a song for them. And, well, different day. Bedtime is a time when you talk and you read and you sing to them. Starting of the day, there are three things you could do. Go read it yourself. I won't give you the details. It's all there. Then we talk about the how. How you talk about it. So you need to learn how to talk. Then you have to tie. Tie God's word to your body. This could be different ways. You could, by tying God's word, we mean maybe having the word of God in their in card form, whatever that they can carry along with them, and testify in public or in public places. Third. Fourth, open a conversation to questions asked. Start with a question. Be ready with a clear answer. All right, this is what is specified. Go read in your word. Then the question, always be able to answer this question. What is the meaning behind all these laws? Explain the meaning. What it means and how it benefits you. Then answer with a view to bring God's story now. Take note of this point. Bring God's story into your life's history. Don't tell a story separate from God's story. In other words, try to adopt God's perspective. In other words, for instance, when I was 7 years old, I live in a village, a kampong. And the kampung kids are all bigger than me, older than me. And they one day, one jing gang after school went to a rubber plantation. I was clueless. My brother was there. Everybody in the whole jing gang, all about 7 to 10, you know, going. And they went to a little farm with a pond. And everybody jumped into it in their birthday suit. So I thought, oh, this is a good swimming pool. So I also jumped in. I didn't know it was too deep for me. And I was floating. My leg couldn't touch bottom, and the worst thing, I couldn't swim. And went up, boop, 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 went down. But 7 years old, I knew that if I go down the third time, I'll never come up again. I said, what is going on? And then someone grabbed me on the side and pushed me to the edge of the pond, and I was safe. For many years, I couldn't figure out who did it. I never saw who did it. One day I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm very curious, who was the one who brought me to the side? And the Lord said, I was the one. I said, oh, that's a God story. It's the Lord who helped me. You always focus on God, the hero, not you. Don't tell a story, whether it be Noah's Ark or David and Goliath. The hero is the Lord your God. Okay, bring God's story. We talk about four things. Your situation. What was it like before? It's a testimony. Every time you share testimony, what you always talk about before. Okay, so you begin. Even with your children, you tell them, before when I was a young kid, I would go to the temple with my father. I was familiar with how you cross a fire, how to go into a trance, and how, you know, what happened in temples. So, that was before I trusted the Lord, before situation. How bad was it? I tell my children about how bad was the poverty in my family. Then I discovered his entire bloodline has a poverty curse that was only broken by the blood of Jesus. And then because Jesus was the deliverer, God brought us out and out of danger, and God brought us in. You see, the change, what did God do for us? Everything. God commanded that we must obey. So don't stop at, oh, God is like Santa Claus, give us this good thing. Yeah, but God also expects us to respond, because to have a relationship with God, you need to respond. So always do what I call a transaction. A transaction. Move them to a transaction to obey his commandments. And then our change status. What are the changes that takes place? All these four are in your Bible. So I'm running quickly through this because I got a third part to present to you. Then you express God's laws. You not only impress them so that you transmit the value, but you need to express it. Learn how to express, how to surface it. All right. So how do you express about God's laws? But in chapter 6, it's about God's love. The law of love. Because God said, he loved us. He showed us his language of love. And he wants us to respond by loving him in return. You see, one of the mistakes parents make is you tell how much is God's love, but you forgot to tell you, how about you loving God back? That's a transaction. But if you just say, God loves you, that is an information. But when you begin to love God back, that is a transformation. Okay, that's a difference. Work on transformation. So, share this by means of God's perspective, because a lot of the God's perspective is a biblical perspective, is quite different from your worldview that you learn from the world. It's a different perspective. So there's always a change of paradigm, a change of worldview that must be involved. Then, tell them what God has expressed, his love. God expressed his love this way. Can you express your love in this way? Or love the Lord with all your heart and so on. Then you notice, I underline this word, respond by loving him. That should be taught when you, because it is teaching them to observe, not teaching them facts. It's teaching them to observe. And then express it with all our heart. All right, we're going to talk about that. Then, above all, try to respond with the love language God treasures. Love language that God treasures. Jesus said, if you keep my commandment, you acquire my commandments, if you have learned my commandments and keep them, that's the love language I understand. That you love me, Jesus said. And because you love me, I will gonna love you even more. And the Father will love you. And I love you. I'll show myself more and more to you. You'll be real. The language he treasures is observing his law. Then lastly, this last page, third page. How do we express God's laws? Through historical accounts. I just have time to just give you one example. If let's say you're teaching Moses' encounter with God and the burning bush. What's the first thing God taught Moses? Number one, God said, Moses, take off your shoes. Because this is holy ground. First thing, he talked about his holiness. God now introducing himself to Moses. I'm a holy God. Take off your sandals. And then God began to give him, tell him about his heart. He said, God said, I care for people, my people. I know they are suffering. I want to come down and rescue them. I want to deliver them from slavery and pain and suffering. And then finally God, after explaining his heart, what God did, God say, right now, Moses, I want you to partner with me. Then what did Moses do? He began to have 50 excuses why he's not the right man. Human beings are very funny. We all got excuses when God commands us. Oh, do alpha, reach us out. So, oh, I cannot, I can't speak. I don't know how to talk like this. All kinds of excuses. Moses preceded you 3,500 years ago. He gives the same excuses. And then God was angry with him. God rebuked him. Why? Because he did not understand lordship. God was teaching lordship. So every commandment God gives, he precedes you with a sentence. The Lord is one. I am the Lord who delivered you out of the life of slavery. I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. God was teaching him lordship. All right. So God showed him his intentions. So why was God angry? Because God was trying to move him from his worldview into God's worldview, a change of perspective. And when Moses gave excuses, God gave solutions. Moses said, I can't speak. I'm not a good speaker. But God said, what about your brother? He can be your mouthpiece. Who made your mouth? That goes back to creation. You see, God is asserting creation. Why is he Lord? Because God formed your mouth. So your mouth, if surrendered to God, God can help you to speak. And we look at the writing and the speaking of Moses, we can't believe that he's not a good speaker. Then he need to understand God's heartbeat and intention that is for the good of the entire nation. So he had to think beyond himself and think of nations. That is an enlarging of his vision, enlarging of his capacity. Because too many of us, we are so concerned about little things, make sure my kids got the best tutor, got pass exam, make sure their future will be good, they got money, so on. We are thinking about us and we and ourselves. But God says, I'm interested in winning the whole nation. Can you enlarge your vision and work with me for something bigger than yourself? So what did he say? God says his love language is that there are no other gods. He's the one who has created us. And because he created us, everything belongs to him, including your life. So God was imparting to Moses quite a few principles here that relates to a law of God. What is that law? That God is Lord of all. He is the one and only. And Moses had to learn that. And as Lord, Moses must take orders. He must obey. And he did. Because he did so well. At the end, God called him a friend. What are the teacher's challenges? Brother Jonathan highlighted one. Of course there are challenges. A teacher of God's word, what are they? To impart with excellence. One of the things is how to do it with excellence. Every time I speak here, I ask God, is there a new way I can do it? Every week, because I want to pursue excellence and I learn new things. It says, we must love the Lord with all our heart. That's excellence. All our hearts. That means not half-heartedly, wholeheartedly. The key word is the word you give high weightage to God's laws that has to be obeyed. That's with all our heart. You do not take it lightly. Secondly, you have to do it with all your soul. That soul is the source of your affection. And when you choose to honor God, it's a choice. You may not feel so much, but you make a decision by the act of the will. You see, all of us make choices. Every man must make choices. After he's married, he surely will meet some beautiful woman too, attractive woman. But he must make a choice. No, I'm loyal to my wife. It doesn't matter how beautiful this woman is. I've made my choice. It's by a choice, not just purely by emotion. And so you'll not be taken up by sweet talk and sweet, dressing. So the seed of my, express my love in the language God appreciates. Obedience. Express your language of love that God treasures. Then, with all my strength, what is it? When you do it with all your strength, you love the Lord with all your strength, is you move with maximum effort. That means you give attention to details to do the very best. It's a maximum. You know, some people say that, oh, it's not by effort. No, you love the Lord with effort. You need strength, involve effort. Do you put in an effort? Some of you are employed. You have to give the maximum effort, right? Otherwise, boss will say, hey, this work you do is very slipshod, it's half-hearted, it can be seen. Second, you need to overcome inertia. It's called moving from spectating to participating. This is one of the principles that you need to remember. If all your strength, try not to be a what? Spectator. Our worship leader tried to get us to move our body. Well, that is part of strength. And then value God's presence and favor. Do not take for granted. Don't forget, God said, when you have eaten, you're full. When you have occupied the cities I've given you, and I've given you this and that and the other as my love language, please, one thing, you are going to be vulnerable. You'll forget. People forget the good things you have done for them. Is that true in your own experience? You have helped people, but 10 years later, they forgot all the good things you did for them. One guy needed cash badly. So I gave him some cash. I loaned him some cash. He forgot about it. 20 years later, I say, hey, Mr. So-and-so, I loan you this money. 20 years ago. Oh, he got angry. How can you say that? I'm an honest man. I never borrow from anybody. I never ask. You know, I'm a self-made man. I say, mister, I've got a document in which you sign that you owe me $500. Oh, I don't believe it. I'll sue you if you... Blah, 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 blah. People forget when you help them. Since then, I wise up, don't lend men any more money. Energized by the Spirit of God is that you are not depending on the Holy Spirit when you move. So this would be some what we mean by strength. Be inspired. How to inspire learning is by your attitude. Firstly, it's your personal enthusiasm. Second, avoid routine, doing the same thing the same way if possible. Tell whys before you tell how. Tell about the benefits, the love, God's love language. And be thinking about how to instill the correct attitudes for learning. Last week I talked about excellence in the learning attitude. Check your learning attitude. I won't go into what I said. Now, in closing, let me summarize up with two transparent visual that will help you. Okay, so if you are teaching your children or your friends, what is one way you can, a new way you can impart? Let me put it this way. Hold on. Let me put. Is that okay? All right. So you can see, you can put it in this form, visual. First, God's command in verse 5 is, love the Lord. Okay, just follow where I put the circle on. Love the Lord. That's all God wants you to do. One thing, love the Lord. And then teach them to love the Lord. How do you love the Lord? Teach them to obey His laws. That's how you teach them to love the Lord. That's God's appreciates this kind of love language. How are you supposed to teach them to love the Lord? Tell them that they must love the Lord with all. All. This word was emphasized in the Hebrew is the word me'od. It means very much. Tov me'od. Thank you very much. It's very good. Tov. Very good. Me'od. Very much. Very much good. It's maximum. That's the idea. The word all is maximum that you are capable of. This is how you're supposed to love the Lord. How? Firstly, with all your heart. That means don't be half-hearted. Don't just go through the motion. All right. The second, all your soul. It involves your decision-making process that you decide for the Lord because you love Him. You will not betray Him. Then with all your strength. Can you see that? These are three ways you're supposed to love the Lord. All, there'll be four, but all strength, all soul, all heart, not half-hearted. Not weak will, cannot make up your mind. Not with minimum effort. That's how you love the Lord. This kind of love is what God loves. It's exciting. Hey, even you yourself, right? If somebody say thank you to you, but half-heartedly, do you accept it? So you yourself don't accept half-hearted thank yous. You know, sometimes you tell teacher, thank your uncle for giving you the big ang pao. Okay, thank you. What kind of thank you is that? That's called half-hearted, all right? You may not realize you have also been doing the same. So check yourself. That's how you are supposed to love the Lord. That's then how do you do it? Obey. Teach them. Don't teach them. Teach them to observe. Teach them to obey. Jesus in the Great Commission said, teach them to observe. The same word. Don't teach them to just facts. Teach them to obey. You are very clear on this? There's a difference. Then what are the benefits? First of all, when you fear the Lord, what's the objective? It's part of fearing the Lord. That means reverence for the Lord. Then do not serve other gods because that's high honor you give to the Lord. You do not serve other gods. All right. Because the benefit is, God says, your life will be blessed. Remember, 3 weeks back, we highlighted Deuteronomy 2:7. He says, the Lord your God has blessed you in all the works of your hands. And then God has blessed, one of them is long life. It's repeated in chapter 6. But also teach them that there is a negative for serving other gods. God says there will be destruction. Remember that. That's part of God's faithfulness. There will be destruction for serving His enemies. All right. What is another benefit? If you obey carefully, that means with care and fully. When you do so, it goes well with you. So I give you scriptures 3 and 8. Twice God said in this one chapter. The previous chapter, again, 2 times God repeated again and again. Go well with you. Go well with you. Go well with you. Not go ill with you. And this is what we call the benefits. We talk about the benefits when we do so. Talk about benefits. Then how do you impress? What must you do? impress. You must be impressed. You impress them. There must be impressing. Impressing in the Hebrew word means repeatedly saying it in different ways so that it registers and remembers. Then you are teach them what? To put it in your heart. God said in this commandment, these laws that we command you shall be in your heart. So you learn by heart. How do you do it? Pastor Ken and myself, when our children were very young, we always have a good time in the dining room. So what we do is, she'll put up a verse of scripture for the week and we'll memorize it. So we memorize it by heart. So all of us will memorize that simple verse, all five of us, and no matter how young they are. And I discovered that all of them did better than me. You know, they learn faster than me. When we quote, all of them quote faster than me. So I discovered that children actually have a very sharp mind. I also discovered my wife has a sharp mind too. And but I also memorized it. I went for the long haul. So I memorized God's word for the last 60 years. I'm still memorizing. Put it in your heart. Learn it by heart. So that you'll not forget. All right? So this is the first thing about impressing upon your children. That's the first thing you need to do. Make sure you impress. All right? That's the second thing. I got another one, last one to close with. All right. So how are you supposed to impress? There are four ways, we say. First, we got it, talk at home. Talk about it. What do you talk about? Is it at home? It's always about holiday, next holiday. Where is the next dinner? Which restaurant? Come on, let's talk about the Word of God. You say, I'm not very good at it. Well, when you keep doing it, you'll be good at it. Learn to talk about the Word that has impressed you. Talk about it where? At home. All right, be careful what you talk about at home. You are supposed to talk about it outside. That means as you walk along, you impress them as you walk outside. Along the way, there'll be a lot of points of lessons. I used to, when the young children are very young, I would take them for a jungle walk. So I start off from Thompson Road and take them through Mandai Forest and end up on the other side, MacRitchie Reservoir. And as so long, I say, okay, be quiet. Now I want you to listen. Cricket voice sounds, bird sound. What can you learn about it? And as we walk through the jungle, or at night, I would take them to the seaside at low tide and shine the light, and they will see so many creatures on the beach. Talk about creation. Or we would look up to the skies and try to identify which are, where's Orion, where is the big bear and the little bear, and why is it so important? So, yeah, this would be what you can do outside. Okay, so your orientation, sometimes you walk outside, hey, don't walk this side, don't walk that side. Well, maybe you can do a little bit more. You know, so jungle walk, you got no traffic. Maybe a few snakes that will scurry away, but no problem. Talk about God's word. Lie down at bedtime. Hey, that's a great time to talk. We always talk about bedtime, especially if you have young children. Okay, those who are teenagers, hey, you may not have young children yet, but you got cousins, you got younger brothers. That's what I'm impressed with. Jonathan, his son, begin to mentor the twins, the younger ones. Hey, you can do the same. Huh? I mentored my father and my mother and my sisters. So it's not just parents. Bedtime is the time to talk about. We always, every night, we spend time with the kids. Until, of course, when they go to university, you can't find them. So first 10 years, very crucial. All right. But when they become adults, you have to modify a little bit, but everybody could. And when you wake up, all right, thanks to my secretary, we found she did this interesting thing. Maybe you start the day with singing the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Start with a song. Worship, why not? Okay. Learn to sing. Some of you say, I can't sing. Hey, when you keep on singing, you will be able to sing well. In fact, I'm hoping all the people here above 60 should form a senior choir for Christmas, because you got the best voice. You may not realize it. That's what my singing instructor said. So now, so these are the four areas. All right. So what are you supposed to do to express? Okay. First of all, these symbols is, it says, by name thought of forehead. Actually, what it means is have something between your eyes, something always available. It can be in the form of some pictures, but the idea here is don't forget. Have some means to review so that they will not forget. All right. The key problem, the challenge is, will they forget? This passage in chapter 6 says, will you forget? Sad to say, the people of Israel forgot because they didn't teach their children. But will they forget? That's God's concern. All right. So what is God's language of love for us? So the benefits you need to talk about. The blessings of the inheritance. What are they? God begins with cities that they did not build. That means cities is a measure of wealth. And God said, you did not build. I gave it to you. Second, I give you houses that are filled with good things. You have got good things in your home, but you did not provide for it yourself. Every good thing you see in a home should be given thanks, but acknowledge it. Houses filled with good things. Thirdly, wells they did not dig. Hey, maybe we all don't appreciate water. Talk to people who live in the desert. Water is so important. And so God provides for us. Vineyards you did not plant. Do you know many things? These are some of the blessings. Deuteronomy 2:7, God already said, the Lord your God has blessed you in every work of your hands. He even understands your walk through the great wilderness, the times when you suffer. God understands what you're going through. But just don't forget that the blessings of your inheritance, you did not work for it. But the condition is very simple. Obey the Lord's laws. That's why you need to teach them. In closing, will you undertake to impress people around you with God's laws? Will you take the time to express? I'd like you to bow your head and make a transaction with God. Can you respond to God? You have heard how much God loves you. His command is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These are the conditions. Will you? And will you try not to forget God's goodness to you? If you don't know what transaction, can you look at your own notes? Or look at these pictures that I've shown you? How do you express your love for the Lord? Is obeying His laws something you want to express? if you do so, unlike you, you just tell the Lord, okay, I've spoken whatever I can. Now it's your turn. You talk to the Lord. Tell the Lord, if you are willing to commit yourself to impress younger people or your children or your friends or your classmates about God's wonderful laws, principles. For those of you who said yes, can you tell the Lord how much time or when you're going to dedicate this time to? There are four scenarios: at home, outside, and so on. Is there one specific area you're asking the Lord for wisdom to do? Can you tell him that? And so finally, what is your transaction you're making to the Lord? Maybe you need to impress upon your children, but you yourself are not very impressed with God's laws. Do you need to pray and ask God to open your eyes to see how wonderful His word is so that you are impressed yourself? You need to back up as a learner. Are you an effective learner of God's word? If you are not, just make a new commitment to the Lord. Make your own transactions. This part I cannot do for you. You do for yourself. Some of you got children who have not trusted the Lord. What is your commitment to them before the Lord? You tell the Lord what you want to do or you don't want to do. It's up to you. If you have done so, shall we just stand for closing prayer? Just stand before the Lord. And Father, I bless your people with wisdom. We have covered a lot of grounds today. It's only in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Father, I pray that this impression, being impressed with just chapter 6, how much wisdom you have imparted to us, how much you have loved us with your language of love. Lord, we receive your love this morning. And secondly, Lord, we want to impress those around us with your precious word and your laws. And we are trying to learn how to express ourselves so that we will not be intimidated by lack of response or slow learners. So, Father, I bless every household that the Word of God will reign supreme, that all these digital games will take second place, but the Holy Word of God will be honored and given the highest weightage in every household. For young people here, I pray you'll make them fathers to their parents who are not believers yet, or to their siblings, or to their younger ones, or even to their friends and classmates. They'll be the teacher of your holy laws in the marketplace, in wherever they are. Lord, no matter how young they are, bless every effort. Every kid who is mentoring their younger brothers, sisters, Lord, release into them your wonderful blessings for their lives. It go well with them. And I speak the same wellness on every household represented here. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen.